From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books of the New Testament. Each message is devoted to an entire book and will provide you with a summary of the purpose, the doctrines, and the applications of the book to the Christian life. The focus in this message is the Gospel of John. A major emphasis of John's Gospel is the mystery of the Incarnation. The meaning of the Incarnation is found in John's identification of Christ with the various items in the tabernacle, which were but types of the reality found in the Lord Jesus. In addition, John deals with the manifestation of Christ's glory, revealed in his person, his passion, and his resurrection power. There's much emphasis upon the mercy of the Incarnation, revealed in Christ's gracious works, the miracles he performed. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this message entitled, The Glory of God Incarnate. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Continue Upright. The text is Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8, The prayer of the upright is his delight. This is as good as a promise, for it declares a present fact, which will be the same throughout all ages. God takes great pleasure in the prayers of upright men. He even calls them his delight. Our first concern is to be upright. Neither bending this way nor that, continue upright. Not crooked with policy, nor prostrate by yielding to evil, be you upright in strict integrity and straightforwardness. If we begin to shuffle and shift, we shall be left to shift for ourselves. If we try crooked ways, we shall find that we cannot pray, and if we pretend to do so, we shall find our prayers shut out of heaven. Are we acting in a straight line, and thus following out the Lord's revealed will? Then let us pray much, and pray in faith. If our prayer is God's delight, let us not stint him in that which gives him pleasure. He does not consider the grammar of it, nor the metaphysics of it, nor the rhetoric of it. In all these men might despise it. He, as a father, takes pleasure in the lispings of his own babes, the stammerings of his newborn sons and daughters. Should we not delight in prayer, since the Lord delights in it? Let us make errands to the throne. The Lord finds us enough reasons for prayer, and we ought to thank him that it is so.
These days are drawing close to an end. God has been working on you, my dear friend. Your heart has been tender, though others so cold. For you are hungry on the sand.
Thank you.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
next piece of furniture, the table of showbread, spiritual food. We turn to chapter 4, Jesus speaks of himself as the water of life. But chapter 6, he speaks of himself as the bread of life. Verse 35, he says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. There's spiritual food. The next piece of furniture was the candlestick. Spiritual illumination. We turn to John chapter 8. Jesus said, verse 12, I am the light of the world. And he showed just how much he was the light of the world in the very next chapter when he dealt with the man born blind. And he healed him. Then the golden altar spoke of access to God. We turn to John chapter 17 and the Lord Jesus Christ there. The great high priest entering into the presence of God. That leads us to the ark beyond the veil. The ark speaks of the one, speaks of Christ himself, in whom the law of God is perfectly fulfilled. Do you remember what he said in John 19:30? It is finished. And then on the ark there was the mercy seat. Acceptance at the throne of grace. We turn to John 20 and verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, that is Mary, touch me not, or literally, don't be holding on to me, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. There is acceptance at the throne of grace. As Paul put it in Hebrews, we have a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. What's the meaning of the incarnation? The meaning of the incarnation is that he tabernacled. He is God's tabernacle. In him is the atonement. In him is regeneration and sanctification and spiritual food and illumination and access to God. In him there is a perfect justification, and in him there is acceptance at the throne of grace. It's all in Christ. In Christ there's life. In Christ there's salvation. Out of him there's nothing but death, condemnation and destruction. The third thing is the manifestation of the glory of incarnate deity. We beheld his glory. Now this is something that meant a lot to the Apostle John. Something that he always remembered. In fact, this is how he started his epistles. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Do you notice the emphasis on witness, on seeing and hearing, beholding, on manifestation, on showing? John says, we beheld his glory. Now, he beheld that glory in many ways in the flesh, with his fleshly eyes. But I believe he beheld it with much more than that. He beheld the glory with the perception of spiritual light and of spiritual faith. And so thus, every Christian in a way can say this. We have never seen Christ literally in the flesh. But nonetheless, we can say with John, we see Jesus. Or with Paul, rather, in Hebrews chapter 2, we see Jesus. This is a real sight. Listen, what you see by faith is not less real than what you see with the seeing of the physical eyes. In fact, Peter says that what you see by faith is much better than what you see with your eyes. Your eyes can deceive you. Your ears can deceive you. Peter says, we were with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. We saw and we heard, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have something that's more confirmed than the sight of our eyes and the hearing of our ears. What is it? It is the word of God, which we can grasp by faith in Jesus Christ. We also therefore can say, we beheld him. How did you get saved? You beheld Christ. That's how you got saved. How have you triumphed in every moment of difficulty? By beholding Christ. How have you had strength to go on? By beholding Christ. What is the constant exhortation of Scripture? Behold Christ. Look upon Christ. Turn your eyes upon Christ. Seek after Christ. Man, this is the constant exhortation and emphasis in the Word of God. You see, this is not supposed to be mere theological history. This is real. Christianity's real. If your Christianity's only out of a book, you'll perish with it. If it's only what you've got between your ears, the same as you learn some proposition of Euclid or some theorem, say like Pythagoras, and you know it, but that's all you know. Man, you'll perish with that kind of knowledge. Christianity's real. Beholding Christ is real. Having the glory of God dawn upon you is real. Having your life suffused with the light of the person and work of Christ is real. We beheld his glory. We beheld the glory of his person. We beheld the glory of his absolute perfections. We beheld the glory of his passion. And I use that word deliberately. There is nothing glorious in the passion of Christ to the eyes of the flesh. It was one of the ugliest scenes that the world has ever seen. His face was so marred as no longer even to look human. Physically, there was no beauty in the cross. But I tell you, spiritually, there is all the beauty of eternal deity in the cross. Because there, you have God satisfied. You have the sinner reconciled. You have the law fulfilled. You have condemnation put away. You have atonement made. Thank God you've salvation purchased. And I tell you, we have beheld the beauty of his passion. I love every decent biblical song about the blood of Christ. I love to hear preachers preach about the blood of the Lamb. I get sickened, and more than that, I get angry at preachers with their modern methods and their stupidity that have pushed the blood aside, and they have come up with something that neither satisfies God nor man, and has the devil laughing souls into hell. Oh, the beauty of his passion, and the beauty of his power. Power over sin. Power over Satan. Power over death. Power for time and for eternity. Oh, here we have the manifestation of the glory of God incarnate. And listen, it's all manifested in order to give us two things. Certainty and fellowship with God. That's why Christ was manifested. John says, we beheld Christ manifested that we might know that we have eternal life and that we might have fellowship with God. Oh, that God today would show us something of that glory. Don't go out of this place this morning without praying the prayer of Moses, Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. Let that glory dawn upon my soul, filling my life with light divine. And then finally, that sounds rather more promising actually than it is, because this is the major part of the gospel. There is the mercy of the incarnation. He is full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. The grace speaks of his works. That's where you see his grace, in his works. Full of truth. That speaks of his words. You see his truth in his words. Now, obviously, those are not absolute divisions, and there is an overlap. You'll see grace in his words, and you'll see truth in his works. But nonetheless, basically, full of grace speaks of his works. Full of truth speaks of his words. Let's think of the full of grace. Now, here is a tremendous area of study. Let me try succinctly and with some plan to set it before you. The gracious works of Christ can be seen, first of all, in the 8 great sign miracles that are recorded in John's Gospel. Now, there are miracles in the other Gospels, but you see, in John's Gospels, they become signs. That's why the selection is made here. They are signs, they are evidences, they are proofs that Christ Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. Let me run over these with you. Chapter 2, he turned water to wine. Chapter 4, he healed the nobleman's son. Chapter 5, he healed the man paralytic at the pool of Bethesda. Chapter 6, he fed the 5,000. Chapter 9, he gave sight to the man born blind. Chapter 11, he raised Lazarus from the dead. And chapter 21, he gave the miraculous draught of fishes. Now, in every one of these, there's proof that Christ is the sovereign Lord of all creation. Water to wine, sickness to health. 5 loaves, 2 fishes to feed 5,000. Walking on top of the water. You know, what it's saying is, Jesus Christ is sovereign. I know that some of you like to think in very big terms. Some of you are a lot cleverer than I'll ever be. So let me throw out what way the theologians would say it. And you can think this out. What John is saying, these areas, the marriage in Cana of Galilee when the wine ran done, the sickness of the nobleman's son, the man at the pool of Bethesda, the hungry 5,000, etc. These are all the areas of contingency. These are all the areas where this might happen, that might happen, where we're all bound by the various so-called laws of creation. Now comes the sovereign Christ of God, the Almighty God, and he makes every area of contingency subject to his absolute authority. There's nothing contingent to Christ. In other words, let me put that very simply, there is nothing that depends on anything but the sovereign will of Christ. That's what he's saying.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.